Man, it is such a blessing to be here, man. Such a blessing. The time we spend in prayer, the time we sit together, just fuels my soul and gives me just an image of what the church is called to look like. And man, it's just so refreshing and amazing being here with you guys as believers. But guys, today I would like to talk about Romans 8, 12 through 17. So if you could just turn to it to be there. So just to give you a little bit of context, in Romans 8, verses 1 through 11, Paul is talking about life in the spirit. And he also contrasts how it differs from living in the flesh. Yeah, but like I said, today we're going to focus on verses 12 through 17. And could someone read those for me? So this morning, guys, as believers, we are either going to live like we are in debt to the spirit, or we're going to live as if we're debtors to the flesh. But I want to tell you today that if you live like you've been adopted by an almighty God, then you will live truly. I just want to pray real fast. Lord God, I pray that you would just use this scripture to encourage your body, Lord. I pray that it would convict and encourage, Lord. And more than all, that, Lord, that you would just speak through me. God, that the spirit would take over and there would be none of Cam, more of you, Jesus. So God, I pray that we'd all have ears to listen, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be postured in a way to receive something from you. Even me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, so it says, so then, brothers. So when Paul is saying brothers, he is talking about Christians in the Roman church. He says, we are debtors. We live every moment of our lives like we're in debt to something, either the spirit or the flesh. Somebody's going to get paid. Think about this morning. Matter of fact, think about this week. Were you living like you were in debt to the spirit, or were you living like you were in debt to the flesh? Because scripture says that we are not supposed to live like we are in debt to the flesh, like we're not supposed to live like we're in according to the flesh, like we're in line with the flesh. So the flesh is described by Paul in Romans 7 as a prison of flesh that he wants to be delivered from, a prison of evil desires, desires that will keep you from experiencing that true life that scripture tells us about. The flesh is somewhat of a bad influence on our lives. It promises us life if we live according to it, but only brings forth a death. So it says, brothers, we are debtors to live. To live means what your life is made up of. And what is your life made up of? Actions. Speaking, thinking, and doing. And you might say, Cam, wait a second, thinking? Like, thoughts and actions are two different things. But man, Jesus kind of defines it for us in the book of Matthew. Jesus said, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. That's not an action, right? It's a thought. He also said, harboring anger in your heart is murder. And it's early in that same chapter. So yes, even thoughts can be counted as actions. Let's get back to the text. It says, not to live according to the flesh. According means to be lined up with. An example of it is when you live with your parents. All of us live with our parents at some time. And we had to live according to their rules. We had to live according to their desires. So scripture is telling us not to live in line and according to what the flesh wants us to do. Why? Death. It promises death. Paul is trying to keep the church from dying. But Cam, I thought we couldn't die as Christians. Romans 8:1, you know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You can live in life and death moments as a believer. So, man, when you get saved, you live moments in life. Those are moments where you're letting the spirit take over and you're saying, God, I want to glorify you with everything that I do. And then you live moments in sin, right? And those are death moments, guys. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15, it talks about our works being put through the test of fire when Jesus returns. Either they're going to be burnt up and the believer will suffer loss, or it will stand the test of fire and be a reward. So that's a life and a death moment. But guys, did you see the contrast in verse 13 when we were reading? Look at the but. It says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Lined up with the Spirit's rules, the Spirit's desires. Guys, we are at war this morning. We are at war. Each one of us are in an individual war daily between our spirits and our flesh. The Bible paints us as mortal enemies our spirit and flesh, it paints it as mortal enemies in Galatians 5:17. So, a little illustration that kind of helps me think of this is there's a Native American tale of two wolves. So a young man's asking his grandfather, "Hey, grandfather, give me some wisdom." And he says, "Okay, I'm gonna tell you about these two wolves. There's one that's evil, has greed, pride. That's what it's made up of. And then there's another one that's made of love and peace, patience, truth, kindness." And he said, "They're always at war with one another." The grandson asked him, "Grandfather, who wins out of these two wolves?" He said, "The one that you feed." So as believers, we have hope that the victory has already been won through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But guys, today we have a daily battle we have to fight. And it's between our flesh and our spirits. So who are you feeding in this battle? Who are you living in debt to? Guys, like I said, once again, we have a war. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning. We have a war. And we need to make sure that the spirit is winning. How do we know? How do we make sure that the spirit is winning? When we listen to the spirit. When we crucify our flesh daily, as Jesus calls us to do in Luke 9:23. When we're loving, when we're patient, when we're kind, when we have peace and fullness of joy, this is evidence of victory. These are fruits of the spirit. So now we've talked about living according to the flesh and living according to the spirit, and also what it looks like when the spirit is victorious in our lives. Let's have a funeral for our flesh today. Let's kill our flesh today. Guys, would you look back at verse 14 with me? It says, "For all who are led by the spirit are sons of God." If you are led by the spirit, you are a son. And if you are a son, you are led by the Spirit. One can't be led by the Spirit if they're not a son of God. It clearly says this in scripture right here. So how can you tell who is a son of God? First off, by the fruits of the Spirit that we just talked about earlier. And also, you can tell by their love for one another. So if you're not loving your brothers and sisters in Christ well, how does the world know that you belong to Christ? Okay, guys, let's go to verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Look at the contrast in that, guys. Slavery from fear and adoption as sons. No longer slaves to fear, but we're adopted as sons of an almighty God. Right here it says sons, but if you look up the word sons in the Greek, it is talking about anyone who reveres God as their father. Paul is giving us assurance that we do not need to fear because we have the spirit of adoption and are adopted as children of this almighty God that we're talking about in scripture. He's also our father, not just an almighty God, but he's also our father because we are his children. Everyone is fearing something right now, guys. Look at the U.S. People are fearful that Biden's going to retain office. People are fearful that Trump's going to get back into office. People are fearful of pandemics. People are fearful of food shortages, war, etc. Some people even make their livelihoods off of people's fear and fear-mongering. When we live in fear, we are paying debt to the spirit of slavery that Christ has already delivered us from. The spirit that we have received when we were saved is the Holy Spirit. And that's the only spirit we need to live by. Living in you right now is the spirit of an almighty God. Jesus also talks about this, this idea that I've been presenting to y'all in the Gospel of John. So if you would, just turn with me to John 8, verse 34. So while y'all are turning, I'll give you a little bit of context. So Jesus was talking to the Jews who had been saved and believed in him. And they were asking him, "How will you set us free if we have never been slaves?" And then Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So here, Jesus is elaborating on the idea of slavery versus sonship. At the end of verse 15, it says, you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a reverent term for father in Aramaic. It's somewhat of an alpha male or a leader. A lot of you might have heard that it was Daddy God, but it is not that at all. It would be our modern equivalent that really doesn't do it justice of sir. It's a word regarding a social fatherhood instead of a biological fatherhood. So in light of verse 15, let's ask ourselves, when we're watching the news, are we fearing? Are we dictating our actions out of fear? What is governing our thoughts and actions today at this moment when we leave here? We need to leave this building with a new understanding as believers that we cannot be in more of a relational position with God than we are right now. You have nothing to fear. Let's think about what David said in Psalm 23 at the beginning of verse 5. He said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. This is the same God that prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Are you feasting? Or are you sitting there nervously? Okay, guys, I want you just to picture this with me. Have you guys seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? It's like the greatest war movie of all time. So I just want you to picture the Normandy scene where they're storming the beach at Normandy. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Like machine guns firing, explosions, people dying from left to right. Now, imagine you're there on the beach of Normandy while the battle is raging and you're sitting at a table with a nice dinner in front of you. Are you phased or worried about what's happening around you? Or are you eating dinner that the Lord has prepared for you without fear? Amen. Because he has called us not to fear, even in the craziest of circumstances. You should. If you're not comfortable, if you're not unfazed by the things going on around you, you should be. Because you have an almighty God that gives you peace. And the others around you who don't have that, they should be confused. Like, why is this guy so calm and sitting on the beach and there's gunshots happening around him? There's people dying, explosions happening close to him. But it shouldn't make sense to them. It shouldn't make sense to them to see you struggling financially and not being worried. It shouldn't make sense to them to see you loving someone that's hurt you in the past. It shouldn't make sense to them to see you not being stressed or worried about potential wars and pandemics. It shouldn't make sense to them to give your life, time, and resources away to the kingdom. It shouldn't make sense to them for you to have an awkward work conversation about the gospel when you could have avoided it. But it makes sense to you. Because you know the God that you serve. You know the almighty God of the universe is for you. Remember this morning who you belong to. Remember who our Father is. And the way that we remember this is through the word. This passage, this sermon. We need to realign our thinking this morning and daily with this scripture here. Do not fear. So it says here in Matthew 10, 28. You have to turn. I'm just going to read it. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but not kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. And then in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We have been perfected in love by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no reason for us to fear what man can do to us. We should not fear man, but we should only have a reverent fear of God. Would you look at verse 16 with me, guys? It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Our spirit is describing our individual spirits as believers. We have competing voices. In our heads, everything in this world is competing for our attention and continually telling us what to fear. But we have the Holy Spirit telling us that we are children of God. Let's look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Here, guys, we're going to look at the word children. And it was defined earlier, those who are led by the Spirit. Those who live in reverence to God. So, guys, if you live by the Spirit, you are a child of God. Let that sink in. We have been adopted into this family. And that's sometimes hard for me to come, like, to understand, because I had a rough growing up and I didn't know what it seemed like to be a child. I felt like a burden, but God is calling you his children. He loves you. He is for you. When the world may be against you, greater is he who is in me than is he who is in the world. Like, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can stop you? So let's be bold for Christ today. So here the scripture defines, or the scripture talks about us being heirs. If children, then heirs. So not only were we children, but we're heirs to what? Like, what is an heir? It's one who has received their allotted possession, by the right of sonship. So guys, we are heirs with Christ. And what did Christ inherit? The kingdom of God. And what did he say it was for us to inherit? The kingdom of God. So guys, let's be encouraged by that. The future glory and hope that we have. And even now, like, these spiritual gifts, like, we couldn't get the fruits of the Spirit without the blood of Jesus, without inheriting that because of the blood of Jesus. So let's be encouraged by that. Not just with the gifts we have today, but the future hope of future glory. Right here it says, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. So as Christians, guys, we're called to suffer. It's a promise, actually, that we're going to suffer. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So that there's no maybe be persecuted or probably. No, you will be persecuted if you desire to live a godly life in Christ. But we are called not to fear this suffering, but embrace it. Because it is promised that through this suffering, we will have glory. We will be glorified with Jesus in the same way that he was when he suffered. So guys, let's just think about first century Christians, who Paul was writing to. There was a ruler that was, he went by the name of Nero. And Nero was the fifth emperor of Rome, who had been in power for about 2 years, before Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And he absolutely hated Christians. He would kill Christians by methods of mockery. Some would be covered with skins of wild animals and torn apart by dogs. Some were crucified, which we know how awful a crucifixion was. And then others were burned as torches to give light to the night. Guys, Paul is writing these Christians and telling them not to fear suffering. Man. Wow, man. Praise God. Guys, so just compare that to us living as Christians in the U.S. We suffer awkward conversations. We suffer being unfriended or unfollowed on social media. Or being talked about behind our backs. We haven't even had to experience what our brothers and sisters in Christ experienced last year in Nigeria. Man, a wise man once told me, he said, if you think that the church in America is empty today, let Christians here start being killed for what they believe. Let them start being arrested for what they believe. But guys, even if this happens, brothers and sisters, we are called to not even fear that suffering. Because of the glory that is on the other side of it. Guys, we should not fear a person who can only kill us. And we definitely shouldn't fear somebody who's only going to talk bad about us or unfriend us on social media. Because there is glory that is promised to us. It is not probable glory. It is promised. It is for sure. It is 110% that we are going to inherit that glory. And God is a man of his word. God is a God of his word, you know? So guys, In conclusion, there's just like four or three little steps that I just want you to think about and just take with you this week. Guys, we are called to be debtors to the spirit and not to the flesh. The flesh is going to promise us life and give us only death. But the spirit promises us life and will give us life. Guys, if you are led by the spirit, you are a child of God. That's the second point. If you are led by the spirit, you are a child of God. And what does that mean? If we are children, then heirs. We have a kingdom that we are going to inherit. So walk in confidence, walk in boldness, walk like you believe that. We are not called to live as slaves to fear, but to walk in that confidence of an almighty God, who is also our Father, who is also for us. So who shall we fear? And then the third point, guys, is we are fellow heirs with Christ. We are called to suffer for his sake with the assurance that we will receive glory from this suffering. So guys, last thought, man, we are no longer slaves. Walk in confidence in the workplace, in the presence of your enemies, as children of God. Even through suffering, remember that I am suffering for Christ in order that I may be glorified with him. Guys, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, today, God, I just thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would let it sit on our hearts, God, and we could think about, Lord, are we being a slave to fear? And are we being debtors to the flesh? Or are we living as adopted children that are slaves to the spirit, Lord God? God, I pray that you would help us just take your scripture and write it on our hearts, God. And I pray that we think about this throughout the week, Lord. Who are we paying debt to? Because Jesus, you deserve it all. And all to him I owe, Lord. We owe it all to you, Father. So God, just help us remember that this week. Let us be encouraged by your body, Lord God, and let us be encouraged by your word. And God, let us have a renewing of our minds through scripture. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.